probably the invitation and when we'll be playing. Well, most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to gather on behalf of the business of the city. Lord, guide us in our decisions we make here, and make those decisions the ones that would benefit you the most. Lord, we thank you for this country that we live in and the opportunities that we have here to do what we do as free men. And in your name we pray. Amen. Good flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item is the roll call.
Terry Crawford.
Here.
Fanny Klein. Andy Lazar.
Here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
Gary McLaughlin.
Here.
We have four.
Okay. The election of the chairman and vice chairman is next. I was going to suggest we wait. Mr. Klein is supposed to be here. We wait till we have the poll group. You pick that up later.
If I can just add, they didn't wait for you to come back.
I got you in a better spot, so I'm not going to wait. But if he's going to be here, well, if there's no objection, we'll just wait till he shows up.
Sure.
Hey, when are we going? I think we could put him in.
What we done to you?
Well, I'm just applying to the board. I don't know how we can do it since he's not here.
That's
fine. The minutes of the last meeting were January 24th. It was an email to you. Hopefully, I had a chance to look through them. If there's any additions, deletions. Appreciate hearing those. Alec, I didn't see anything. Any other thoughts? We have a motion for approval.
So moved.
Have a motion, a second.
Sorry. I wasn't here.
Okay. Motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. The minutes are approved. Unfinished business. We're done with the rehab of runway 828 and master plan update.
Yes, the notice to proceed for the runway 826 rehabilitation was issued on February 22nd, and construction will begin on March 24th. We're shooting for no later than May 10th to be done with the whole project. It's actually a relatively pretty quick show. It's getting a lot of attention. It seems like we're going to have a crowd of people watching the process. It's just the whole reclaiming of the asphalt, mixing it with new fresh oil, putting it back down, and then putting new asphalt on top. There are two airports that want to see the process, so we'll come.
Can we sell tickets and make a little extra?
We're thinking about it.
Sell popcorn and design.
Yeah. The only thing I can add on here, there was question about a relatively new FAA process called the Safety Risk Management Safety Meeting, SRMS, I think. Anyway, because the runway's so isolated, we thought we could move through that relatively quickly, and it looks like we did. Bert just advised me that he's got the paperwork signed off on that, so we're not anticipating any delays. The schedule should be right on target for us, and looking forward to it. Any questions on the Crosswind Runway? All right. Moving on to the master plan update. Working paper number one was issued. It was disseminated to the board. We had our first meeting of our master plan planning committee on February 7th, basically outlined questions, concerns, and identified the next steps for the master plan. The second meeting of that committee is yet to be scheduled. We're waiting to hear back from FDOT. Part of the review process is each working paper, the Florida Department of Transportation's got to review and approve it before we can move on. So without that approval yet, the consultant can't start working on the second paper. So we're kind of in a holding pattern. Once we get that back, we'll schedule the next meeting and I'll duly advise the board.
Apologies. Okay. What about the ALP? Are they working on getting that?
Yeah, with the ALP, the Alabama chief, we will begin that once we talk about facilities review meeting. Talk about where we're going to go. That'll be near the end of the process to go in and update that and make sure that facility needs what's here now and what's shown correctly for future development.
I would suggest that we add one if we got more people working, I should get that. Colors and pencils.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there'll be one meeting that we will have scores and papers so we can all talk about, you know, main two things. What's here now to make sure what we're going on the existing facility is correct. And that way everybody has to say on what should happen.
So I have one master copy of the,
Yes.
of the document that's marked up.
Correct.
Okay. That's right.
Okay.
We go right into, I guess, new business.
Yeah, let's talk about the sequester. It's supposed to happen tomorrow. And the FAA has identified its plans to reduce its expenditures by $600 million. This means closing 189 air traffic facilities. It's a 75% cut in the contract tower program. But when you look at the FAA's budget overall, 75% of the contract tower program is being cut, but yet 5 to 8% from other FAA divisions. It's a disproportionate weighted cut against the contract tower program. I'm hopeful that saner minds will prevail, but we have to accommodate the fact that it doesn't.
There's no question. There's a lot of scare tactics being used. They're posturing. There's a lot of things going on. Look at some of the towers that are on the list are out of the. There's just no practical way they can close them. It causes chaos.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't really make sense. So, and the other thing, I mean, everybody seems to think that the sequester is not going to. I mean, the world's not going to come to an end on Saturday morning after that happens. It's a much slower, gradual process. It's only somewhat less than 2% of the total federal budget. I always approach business from the standpoint, there's always 5% you can get if you go after it. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit that they could get. They wouldn't close towers and do some of the stuff they're talking about doing. So I suggest we sit back and wait, I guess.
Well, we have no choice. The sequester, you know, it's supposed to happen March 1st. The FAA has identified the closures to begin on April 1st. These are all the contract towers in Florida. The ones highlighted in gray, which will include Ocala, it's an orange to identify us. Everyone highlighted in gray is on the hit list, so to speak, scheduled to be closed. The FAA's criteria for if you had 150,000 operations or more, or had over 10,000 enplanements of passengers, scheduled passengers, then you are exempt from the list, which is how, if you look at the bottom, Key West, Gainesville, and Northwest Florida Beaches Airport aren't on there. It's because their enplanements are a lot more than 10,000. But there are some big airports there that are going to take a hit. New Smyrna Beach, 140,000 operations a year, scheduled to be closed.
Well, they aren't really scheduled to be closed. They're just kind of flashing.
They've identified them to be closed, so take that for what it's for what they say it to be.
I think we wait until we actually get a notice because it's not much we can do.
Opa-locka with the Coast Guard there, yeah, that worked real well.
So, like I said, there's 189 contract towers on the closure lists. Overall, there's 514 total contract tower or total air traffic control towers in the United States. Ocala's 23rd busiest in Florida, and we're 338th overall in the nation. Incidentally, the bottom two, Punta Gorda and Hernando, both of those control towers opened up. Let's see, Hernando opened up in the latter quarter of 2012, and then Punta Gorda, I think, opened up in late February 2012. So they don't quite have a full year's worth of data to collect, which is why the numbers are a little lower. I want to explain what might happen if our tower closed. I had a few people ask me financially what does it mean. If you look at the 2013 airport revenue sources, our projected revenue is $714,000. When you break that out into T-hangers, which is identified in red, green, these are our ground leases on our corporate hangars. The shaded blue area, terminal miscellaneous lease contracts, that would include Division of Wildlife here, Fish and Forestry to my right. It would include the office rent for all the rental cars. Beautiful Moments is on there, our warehouse lease. And then this last pie section over here, this is essentially the concession fees that we bring in. And Hertz, Avis, and Enterprise, anywhere between 2 to 6.3% of our total revenue comes from those rental car companies. And that's essentially 3% off every car rented comes to us. And that's essentially what these charges represent. If you look at the gray area that's pulled out, that's the Landmark Aviation Commission. That represents the 3.5 cents per gallon that we receive off of every gallon that's delivered into the tanks. And it also represents 3% of their total sales less the fuel revenue. So if you look at that detail a little bit more, out of the total concession sales, about $138,000, $20,000 come from the fuel concessions from Landmark, and then only about $7,800 comes from the 3% of their total sales less the fuel volume. So even if we did see a reduction in traffic, the minuscule reduction in traffic represented in a minuscule reduction in fuel sales, it's not going to make a difference to our bottom line. We won't be able to notice it. Now, some of the other companies on the field may notice it. Landmark may notice something. But trickling all the way down to our bottom line, we shouldn't have a problem. The only reason somebody wouldn't fly into the airport, in my opinion, would be if, one, their insurance doesn't allow operations out of a non-towered airport, or their own internal documents would allow it. But you know, if worst case scenario happens, if our control tower runs out of money and we can't have it operational, then we just revert back to how we did business for the past 50 years before the control tower. It's a non-towered airport. Pilots communicate on a common traffic advisory frequency and just CNBC. But we'll wait and see.
Bert, have you heard anything more than that?
No, the FAA did with three contract power companies. We're looking for that letter Monday 4th, and if they receive that letter, then everything is supposed to take effect. That's what it is. So that's a bit all we know.
A lot of politics can be going between now and April 1st.
We will know first here locally if we're slated to be closed. Will you be the one with the gun fire first?
You know, I really don't know. They could be mad. The contract counter could go directly to Matt, or they could go directly to me. They said, you know, start making plans for April 1st.
Either way, if it comes to me, I'll let him know that he's out of a job, and vice versa, and then I'll communicate back to the board.
Between the two notifications. Well, hopefully we won't get one, so we're just going to wait to see what happens. BCP Aviation?
Yes, BCP Aviation, as of March 1st, they will be out of business. They couldn't make it work. People aren't flying as much, the airplanes aren't breaking as much, and there's no work to be had. Landmark is currently negotiating with a new business. My guess is they'll move in pretty quickly. We'll still have to get them approved through City Council to get the operating lease agreement approved, but it will virtually be a carbon copy of Bruce's agreement. Just rules, regulations, minimum standards, standard fee. I think it was like 2.5% of their gross revenue. Tracy, did you want to add anything?
I'm very excited about it. It's going to be not only just that Jeff has been trying to get in here for a long time, so we'll have Jeff maintenance also. They also run a 135 charter, and which will enable their mechanics to work on all the fractionals that are coming in here that normally bring in from Orlando, Palm Beach, Jacksonville, Phoenix. That's going to be a good thing. Plus, they're also going to base at least one, if not two, aircraft to charter out of the town.
What type aircraft?
They have two Citations, a Westwind, getting ready to get another Westwind, and a Challenger. They actually bought RD Air Service out of Gainesville, and yeah, I'm excited. I think it's a good thing. It's something, you know, we've been looking for a while, definitely get Jeff and get some here. So I think we'll be able to, and plus having a charter.
Tracy said she's not sure exactly which airplane they'd keep here, all or one.
Yeah, there's still a big operation in Gainesville.
It's one more we had before.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
We'll take it.
Exactly.
Okay. We're sorry Bruce is not here today, but he's really worked hard.
He did.
I think he's got credit. He's tried everything he could do to make it work. Business is business, and there's certain airplanes out there that are certainly being maintained, but pilot types typically take airplanes to places, sometimes just for reasons that are only understood by the pilot type. So people at Gainesville bring airplanes down here, and we take ours up there. It's just the way it's always been done, so that's part of it. We'll see what the new folks have thought.
And they're actually working with groups, got possible hiring groups, and buying quite a bit of support.
You know, that was a good.
They're working closely.
He's a good guy, and we appreciate, thank you for the record, we appreciate his contribution to the airport. Thank you. Fuel Farm?
From the Landmark Fuel Farm, back in January 2013, the state EPA inspected the fuel farm, and they failed it on essentially the containment system. They're single-walled tanks, and they require a concrete containment. It had been repaired twice before in previous decades, and it's just time. We worked with Landmark Aviation on remediation options. Landmark came back and offered to fix it to the EPA standards. That would cost about $51,000. They're looking, if they went that route, they would have an additional cost in a couple more years, additional maintenance that they're looking at in the future on the system. It may cost a total of about $100,000-$120,000 before the end of their lease in 2018, just to fix it and maintain the existing tank. Landmark also proposed to construct a new facility for about $220,000, but they required a 5-year lease extension by the city in order to amortize those capital costs on the fuel tank, on the fuel farm, excuse me. Mark and I sat down and we came up with another plan, and we proposed that the city finance and construct a new fuel farm facility. But when we presented the idea to Landmark, we wanted, if we went that route, we would want 2.5 years back off of the lease. And that means instead of ending in February 2018, the lease would have ended in July 2015. And the reason we went that route, we see that the number one project goal in the coming years is the airport terminal. It's incredibly important that we get a new terminal in here. For the sheer fact of having a top-of-the-line front door presence to the city of Ocala. It'll open up some additional office space. It's going to help out with the economics on the airport a great deal. As you remember, we've gone and we've RFP'd for terminal projects. We've RFP'd for second FBOs. We've looked at funding it ourselves, and it looked like we were going to go that route, and it was going to stay on track, and we were going to build it with monies generated from the American Fresh Farm deal. But when that fell apart, the matching funds for the terminal went away. We see it as our only real viable option is to pursue some sort of a public-private partnership with the FBO slash developer in the future and construct this this terminal facility. And the one thing that's getting in the way is our lease agreement with Landmark Aviation. So that's why we came up with this plan and asked them to, we'll build the tank farm, you guys can use it. We just want 2.5 years back so we can move forward with our plans to grow and develop the airport. Needless to say, Landmark chose option one to go ahead and just fix the fuel farm to the EPA standards. In that process, we had already made contact with the State Department of Transportation, and they identified $320,000 in grant funds that would need an $80,000 city match to construct a fuel farm. This would include siting, utilities, three tanks, concrete apron, phone lines, credit card readers, everything that you could possibly want in a fuel farm as an option would have been included in this. The catch is we really need to make a decision before May 1st of 2013 because that money is going to go away. It's actually going to go away the end of June, but if we can't utilize that funding, the state wants to give it to someone else. And if we take it all the way to the very end of the deadline, that won't give them any opportunity to utilize that fund for that funding, and it's going to go back to Tallahassee. Nobody, not a single airport will be able to use it. It'll just get absorbed, and somebody will probably take it in a road fund or something. So we have until May 1st to execute the grant. Once we do that, we'll have a little bit more time to analyze things about how it's designed, where we're going to put it, function. The bottom line is, a new fuel farm facility is going to give us, well, it's going to increase our ability to negotiate with a new tenant, a new FBO. It's an increase, it's a benefit to the infrastructure of the facility. It's going to give us options, a lot of options, with a new facility under control from the city.
Would that be part of the lease agreement for new FBO that they?
That's one of the options. We could lease the facility to a new FBO. We could keep the fuel farm ourselves, and basically charge a storage fee to the FBO. We would maintain the fuel farm. We would own the tanks. We would just charge them a storage fee, and they would operate out of the same tank farm. We could exercise our sole proprietary right to operate the FBO, but contract out those services to a third party. Thereby, we're not stuck in a long-term agreement. And again, we have options. Or we could operate ourselves, basically, if there was a desire to do that. But the bottom line is, there are any number of different things that we could use it for. We could do the same that we're doing right now, or we could do something completely upside down and different and out of the box. But the bottom line is, it puts us in a position to negotiate with a new FBO, puts us in a position to negotiate with Landmark currently. I think for the money, we can't beat it, and there's no guarantee that we're going to be able to do this again in 4 or 5 years when we're looking at a terminal grant around that same time frame.
So as the powers to be the city said, if there's 80,000 available,
we have that in the fund balance for the airport. It is available. It's getting low. It's getting low, but a project like this, that will ultimately have a return on the investment, either through a new lease agreement with a new FBO or storage fees or however we want to work it out. Economically, it'll pay for itself in due time with only an $80,000 investment. What I'm looking from this board is the nod to go ahead and keep plugging away with developing the spec on the fuel farm and moving forward with that so we don't lose any time in that respect. We have time in determining where it'll get situated and how we'll utilize the facility. But the bottom line is we need to get it on the airport before the first, or at least commit to putting it on the airport before the first.
Maybe that's the basic question. But yeah, we have a fuel farm. Landmark has a fuel farm. It was originally the city's, but they got at least on improvements. They're going to bring it up to standard and it'll work. It meets all the bills. They'll continue to make it meet all the guidelines out of their pocket. What possible advantage is there to us owning a second fuel farm on the airport when, given the fact that we were negotiating with a new FBO, they were willing, and FBO was willing in this particular instance to put one in? $320,000 or $300,000, whatever this is, in the scheme of a longer lease with new FBO, is not all that much money. It seemed to me, number one, wait until we negotiate that lease, let the new people do that. They can also be part of the terminal. We're going to have a whole lot bigger appetite for those kind of things. Unless you're located on the same facility over here that now is leased to Landmark, you have two fuel farms on the airport. Exactly what advantages are from a business standpoint of Landmark using our fuel farm? They're not going to have any real desire to pay us extra money contractually. They're not required to. Why would a business do that?
Well, that fuel farm will eventually go away. It is ending, or it's close to its useful life. The maintenance on it, the fuel tanks, the proximity to the road, the age of the tanks, the fact that if we were to negotiate or include the fuel farm in a lease agreement negotiation with a new FBO in the future, it's unlikely that fuel farm would still be in our control. We'd probably have to cede control to that fuel farm if they're going to build it and pay for it. The grant's there. It's an 80-20 grant. Being able to leverage that kind of money on that kind of infrastructure and the opportunity it provides, I think, is a pretty good business decision.
Does the board have any thoughts?
My only thought is I see it as a good thing. I mean, if we're talking credit card readers and people that
have to fill out the self-service. Why do you need a credit card?
Why? Well, I mean, we could position it to sell fuel, self-serve, whether we do it or the new FBO does it.
We already have one, so we're going to compete with the FBO, the current FBO.
If we're directed to do that, sure. But it gives us that option.
That's a really good idea. You know, you compete with your partner on the airport, and you go through that for a period of time. You go up an RFP, and comes a new FBO, me or somebody else, but the word gets around. We're competing with our partner. That would seem to me not to be an investment maybe 5 years from now, maybe 3 years from now, because you're going to have 5 or 6 years before the lease is out. We're going to start a couple of years before, because that's an accommodating time frame for all parties involved. We need a couple of years. So, you know, you gain the reputation of the city going into competition with our FBO. That doesn't seem to me to be very strong.
Throw a devil's advocate out here for something. And I'm asking, you build a fuel farm, it seems to me like that those two things, this is devil's advocate, what you're saying here. Sure. Number one, it makes the city's position stronger to renegotiate the lease to Landmark. It also makes some other, if there is an interested party, FBO, it makes them a little more apt to come in because it's probably less out of pocket if they would have to come through. So overall, I look at it like if Landmark wants to stay here, they've got a new facility that they're not going to have to constantly maintain. It gives the city the strength to hopefully get a little better deal on the fuel that they're currently getting. same thing with any other FPL. I fly over southeast. This is a high speed in Florida. Take away Miami International, I think.
Terry, to answer your question about the, you know, the optics of the whole thing, how a potential FBO suitor might look at the whole deal, I think it's fairly well documented how the city's been pleading with its current FBO to reduce fuel prices. So if we go that route, if city council ends up directing us sell Avgas ourselves or jet fuel or both, I think the history behind it speaks for itself. I've done some research on it. We wouldn't be the only airport that would go down that route. New Smyrna's doing it. And they're actually, they have two FBOs on the field and they're selling fuel themselves. One of the reasons New Smyrna is doing it is it protects their interest and it protects their tenants and their ability to
who do they have for FBO?
They have a company called Epic and World something. You can find all sorts of mom and pop examples that are high end too. It doesn't have to be cut rate corner store type mom and pops. Yeah, there's good and bad. And one thing I noticed, you can mitigate a lot of that through your own rules and regulations and minimum standards and controls on the amount of services. But you have to stay on it, and you have to hold their feet to the fire. What's going on in New Smyrna, there's a lot of diverse interests in there, and they're trying to recapture that control because they've lost a little bit of it. Now, the other airport I looked at is St. Augustine. And St. Augustine was they're run a little different. They're an airport authority. They were petitioned by their own tenants for some sort of relief on fuel. And about 10 years ago, they agreed and they went ahead and they installed a single Avgas self-serve tank right at the base of their control tower. And what they noticed after that being in operation is that the fuel volumes for the current FBO at that time didn't change. They didn't sell any less Avgas, or if they did, it was negligible. But what they did, they picked up 200,000 gallons additional fuel sales from the installation of that self-serve tank, which St. Augustine is a destination airport. I mean, it's St. Augustine. Doesn't get more destination than that. What they were able to do, they recaptured lost fuel sales that were either fueling up at other airports, whether it was their home airport and they were tankering it in, or it was base customers that were stopping on the way to St. Augustine and they recaptured that amount of fuel. Their FBO didn't have a change in service, and they certainly didn't have a change in their own volumes, but what they did, they recaptured a market that was currently being absorbed by corporate profits. So we're not breaking new ground with if we're directed to sell fuel ourselves, but we'd be breaking ground for this airport, that's for sure, if we go ahead and do this and put in a new facility and maintain control of the facility.
Where would you put the facility?
I don't know. I provided a number of different options to RSNH and included that in their work with the master plan. And they're gonna mix that up, and we'll put it in front of the master plan committee and find the best place for it.
Well, it seemed to me, you know, the fuel farm that we have now is an acceptable location. It's out of the way. I don't know that proximity to the road is a problem. It's seeming closer. So maybe the proximity to the gate that we have to actually access it might be a problem. But you know, to go out on the airport and create two complete fuel farms seems to me to be, and taking up a piece of property on this side of the airside that could potentially be used for other and better purposes down the road. Doesn't seem to me to be a very smart way to do it. If we're going to do a fuel farm, I think it'd be better to go to Landmark, do a fuel farm. If you can't negotiate anything any better, should be able to get something out of it. Because they're going to figure to spend some extra money, just as well give it to us if they don't have to do that. Come up with a deal to get a better deal out of them on a five-year basis. Build a fuel farm on the site of the current fuel farm. Let them use it. Let it be exactly the way it is. Don't charge them anything for it. And just let it run the course, because then you guys can get all of it off. Because when the leasehold improvements are set up and everything's done and you have a new lease, you can slice and dice it however you want. But to go down to the other end and take a lot, or to take something, you know, along where the tower is, that's all pretty valuable real estate. Mm-hmm. Kind of stuck up here, seems like an awfully good place to go.
Well, the twist to that, Terry, is if Landmark is going to have to do, when you say $50,000 to $100,000 worth of work real estate?
$50,000 immediately, probably $100,000 total in 4 years.
Well, I mean, one thought is that instead of them doing that, let them provide part of the $80,000 as used for that, so it's not costing the airport board anything.
Sure.
They're getting the benefit of a new fuel farm without having to, sort of go out of pocket just a little bit as opposed to a lot. So mm-hmm. There's all sort of negotiating that could be done on that basis.
Yeah, this talking 80 is what we got to come up with. They're talking about how much to fix at 50, and then you're talking about another amount of maintenance later on to get a double wall tank.
Yep.
If I was Landmark, the deal that you offered them at the beginning, I don't see any reason, if I was in business, that I would take that option. I mean, it's not a very good business. Something like this, where it's you keep your money, you don't have to spend it on that, but we want you to spend it another fashion. Either put in the matching money for it, and in exchange for that, you can use it through the life of the lease. You can do something to cut us a better deal on something else, so that revenue that they're losing in terms of fixing something that is going to be obsolete mm-hmm. 5 years anyway, at least this comes to the advantage of the city. I don't see a reason to go out. One of the things, I'm going to put it up front. We've had a long relationship with Landmark, and it hasn't been all that good. We as a city have done a very, very poor job of meeting Landmark halfway. I know, Matt, you're going to disagree with that, but I can look back, we've sat here, when they had problems, we cited them. We sent them legal documents rather than just call them on the phone or give them a letter. And we've done a lot of things over a period of time that seemingly, to get, at any cost, get Landmark out of here, because they're robber barons, they're bad people. So we've developed a relationship with them that's not very helpful. We have not. You get a whole lot more out of somebody who you negotiate with them and you're truly partner with them than you can in the way we've done, because we haven't truly tried to partner. And I would suggest that there's a new game in town, a whole approach to industrial development, a whole approach to everything that we're doing as a side to this. But this is one issue, but it's a side. But I actually spoke with Ted Hamilton from Landmark, and Landmark's corporate headquarters. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of other FBOs that they work with. They've got 50 FBOs around the country. They're in airports that are little, and they're in airports that are huge. They're the third largest FBO in the country right now. Mm-hmm. I believe we're desirous of having a brand name FBO up there, so when the captains of industry come here from an industrial development perspective, for whatever reason, Landmark's here. I know when we're doing the honor flights, when Miami Air found out it was Landmark, they had a whole three pages of questions to ask about the FBO, and it was like, oh, we don't need to ask those. You get respect and recognition out of having out your signature. There can be others, and they can be smaller than Landmark, but it's good to have somebody who's a known entity and who is a player in the business, and they're truly a player. There's opportunities that they've got to have to help us from the industrial development side. With the other airports they're at, there's got to be people up there in the snow right now that might like to be in Ocala, Florida. I think partnering with them, going back, I'm not advocating, getting into any kind of discussion about they said, he said, whatever in the past. Today is today. There's absolutely nothing to be gained from looking at yesterday. Mm-hmm. so we can look at some things going forward. The opportunity is to appeal farm, take the money that they're going to have to put into it and have them give it directly to the city or do something in a way would be more beneficial. If I was running a business like that, that would make sense to me. Why don't I want to put it into a, you know, dark hole and let it go away? If I could invest in the facility, if I could put the front money up, do something that's going to cause me no more problem in terms of having to worry with it, the balance of the lease, and be there for the future property. So win-win for everybody. But we can accomplish that by sitting down with these people. So when I talked to him, I said, if the city was willing to sit down with the leadership of the city, leadership of the airport, and really sit down and talk about what can we truly do going forward to be partners and take this to a point where you're a community player, you're part of our economic development, and you're doing that, would you consider doing that? He said, we'd love to do that. That's what we do at every other city we're involved in, and we'd like to be able to do it more locally. Now, I'm just quoting you. But I think it makes, rather than charging off, and, you know, we just sell things. I mean, they're very subtle. So we just sat here and got all of the pie charts. Every one of the pieces of pie, this is just a notice here, every one of the pieces of pie is in the pie, except you pulled them out of it. So,
oh, yeah. Well, I pulled them out of there because...
We're just looking at the sequester impact. It's
sure. If airplanes aren't buying fuel, we're going to see the major impact on that slice of pie. That's what it was pulled out of.
There's been a difference in opinion, and I respect your opinion. You're doing a great job for us, but we disagree. Now, I don't know about, you know, anybody else has an opinion on that, but I don't think, personally, you know, Landmark one time sent a FedEx package to everybody in the city that was that thick. Mm-hmm. They offered at one time to invest $4 million here, build a terminal, and do that, and we never gave them an answer. They sent us a proposal, we never gave them an answer. That, to me, is not indicative of a partner. We should have at least sat down and looked at their offer and see what they were. I think they're probably a pretty good business. They're good people. I mean, Tracy, it's a good organization. They do it. I don't hear a lot in the way of service complaints. They do a good job in terms of people coming and going. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. The end game for the airport, the end game for the city, is to have that there when they come in. I agree with you 100%. That it would be really nice on the terminal, really be able to put on a place. But I'm sorry, I don't see the advantages to the city to rush out and build a fuel farm and start talking about putting a credit card reader on so people are empty out and do all of that. Why don't we sit down and talk to them? Let's just say, okay, if we're going out looking for somebody, what are we looking for? If you're looking for one of those kinds, they're a player, Signature's a player, and one other, Carlisle's one. The other thing, Carlisle's a brand new parent company. They were owned by the Arabs, they were owned by somebody else. And we look at Landmark over a long period of time, and we've kind of painted them with a broad brush. They're a different company each time that happens if somebody else owns them. I think we owe it to ourselves to sit down and say, hey, we got 5 years left to go. Why don't we sit down and see what we can do together to make this work and to make this better? The city needs more fuel revenue. We need different fuel pricing strategies. What can we do together to make all that happen so that we're truly partnering? I don't believe we're truly partnering. I think if you're going to have an FBO, if you continue the way we're doing, and the new people that come, they're the same. If we don't partner with them and don't work with them, we're going to get the same results. So it doesn't matter if we get Signature in here. They're going to do exactly the same things. They're in business exactly the same way Landmark's in business. Corporations and businesses.
Sorry, I don't have a single problem sitting down with Landmark. We've done it before. I'd be happy to do it again. We'll talk about fuel pricing. We'll talk about getting out in the community and partnering up with them. I can tell you that I think we put a lot of money, the city's put a lot of money and a lot of investment into their leasehold. We've fixed their ramp, we've overlaid their ramp, we've built a control tower, we paved the runway.
We didn't do that for Landmark.
Landmark benefited more than anybody else on this airport from the investment of $20 million plus in this airport in the past 10 years. Now, we've asked them to pursue contract fuel with the military. That's gone nowhere. That would be a huge, huge increase to us. We've got We've got a military contractor on the field here in SSI that works a lot with all sorts of different government contracts. If we had a contract field here, that would help that a lot.
I've never been involved in the discussion, and I've been on this board a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not aware of any kind of discussions in the community. I'm not talking about you as the airport manager, corporate, but community work.
We can.
You know, folks from the new development, economic development organization, CEP, the folks that are involved in the community.
We can get Kevin Sheely here. We can get Kevin Reed from the power plant. We can get Kevin Sheely from the chamber. We can get.
That's more on top of it.
We can get our consultant involved too. We can get anybody you want involved to bring Landmark in. I'm telling you, I am fully in support of that. What I want to know from this board is, do you want to wait for that before we proceed with the fuel farm?
I don't think that's.
Or do you want, or can we pursue both of them concurrently?
I think they have a lease to prevent the city from doing this.
Building a fuel farm? No.
Or selling fuel farm?
No.
I think, again, I always refer back to the little guy on the 150, but they're flying away from here to buy fuel. You go to a tenant or somebody that keeps an airplane here and says, hey, look, we're going to get you, I mean, what are we talking, 30 cents a gallon less?
More than that.
Yeah.
No, it'd be more than that. I mean, when you look, when you compare to some of the other nearby airports that are buying fuel for roughly the same price that we are, it's almost a retail difference over $2 a gallon.
I mean, I see it as a no-brainer, I think. And, you know, it's just like a gas station out in the middle of nowhere. They set their own price. You build a kangaroo across the street, they're going to get in line and get out.
Well, one of the things I think should be a goal, whether it's Landmark or Signature or whoever, when they're pricing fuel, there's a point of diminishing return where it's priced so high, especially these corporate jets and Pilatuses and yeah. Things like that. I mean, they're not going to take on 1,100 gallons. They're going to take on 200 to get them to the next city. That's what we want to get away from.
One of the things that we're missing in all this, and Tracy, you know, we talked about that, any of the kind of operators, the jet operators that come in here, they aren't paying, most people aren't paying the retail price. The business has changed. Ted told us that, Tracy's told us that. All of the people that come here, they negotiate with on a fuel price basis, because that's how the industry's run now. It's not local, it's a national way of doing it.
And if it's a national way of doing it, then everybody else that's posting lower prices is doing the same.
Well, maybe we need.
But our retail posted price is $2 more than a lot of the competing airports like in Gainesville.
Okay, but what do we have to lose by putting the fuel farm in the spot where the fuel farm is now, working with Landmark on a short-term basis for a couple of 5 years?
You lose your cell service.
Well, yeah, we would lose that ability, but we still have service.
You would lose your cell service.
You still have cell service. Landmark has cell service. The fuel's over here. You don't want to put. You can't put the fuel farm right next to the ramp.
You could.
You're gonna have to.
You could.
Transport.
Oh no, you could put it right there.
Speaking of self service, I mean, last time I bought self service, it was no cheaper than the full service. So why do that?
That's not true. It's $1.40 less a gallon.
The last time I bought it, which was probably maybe a year ago.
Here, it's
for 3 years, what, Matt? It's been $1.
Yeah, right now, self-serve Avgas at Ocala is $5.97 a gallon. And then, and full-serve Avgas is $7.37 right now.
And what is, do you have,
there it is.
I'm trying to think.
Page? Yeah, Page is on the bottom. Here it is. Page Field is
full serve,
5.25.
Well, I'm not going to be 5.25 right now, because right now, auto gas is pumping up to $4. Are you sure it doesn't come up today?
I'm positive. Actually, I can tell you that Naples, Fort Myers, New Smyrna, and Flagler own all sole proprietor FBOs that are run by the airport sponsor. All four of those, and they're the four cheapest ones on this list. Incidentally, this is a different way of doing the fuel price comparison. since the whole contract tower issue came up, I've grouped it differently now. So the airports that we're comparing to are solely contract tower. You won't see Miami International on here. You won't see Tampa, Sarasota, anything like that. But also to kind of bring everything in, there are several airports that have 4 or 5 different FBOs. So, I mean, you could skew the numbers if you pick the highest one charged at that one particular airport. So what I've done, and the way I'll do it from now on, I'm going to take an average of all the FBOs on one particular airport. So when you look at, let's see, Kissimmee, ISM. Kissimmee's got 3 or 4 different FBOs. This is an average price of those 3 or 4 other posted retail price.
Say 644, and we're at 7.25?
Yeah, we're 737.
Well, one FBO, not the, Kissimmee's a pretty busy airport.
Well, everybody's a lot busier than us, and we're pretty much on the bottom of the contract tower operations.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
We don't have the economic impact that Kissimmee's got because that's the fly-in airport for Disney. So, you know, that kind of helps. See, it's something like that. It helps. But I agree. There's a lot to be gained. What is Dunellen like?
Dunellen's, they're not on this list because they don't have a control tower. But, sorry, too fast.
Dunellen's got to be the cheapest fuel prices.
Dunellen or Williston, actually.
Is that actually the published price, Tracy, 737 right now?
Published.
How much do you actually sell?
Can I make a comment on
something? Please do.
You got to compare light facilities to light facilities. Dunellen will never be close to them. They don't have fuel trucks, they don't have personnel.
Like one of the towers makes it
The St. Augustine price you have up there, is that the city-run self-serve price or is that the full-serve?
No, that's the full-serve. When you look at the self-serve.
Look at Page Field again. That's why I go into
it. There again, that's a city-run facility. Well, they don't have stakeholders. They don't have stakeholders to make a profit for. We're in business to make money, and we're not embarrassed to say that.
And that's the problem, you know, sometimes.
We cannot compete with a city to run your airport.
But we want you to make money.
We want you to be successful, but, you know, we also want to partner in the community. And,
absolutely. And that's why we have, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years...
This is not a partner in the community.
...at $1.40 less a gallon. Self-serve is available.
It's still the fourth highest out of this list.
Compared to what now? Are you comparing it to light FBOs or are you comparing it to somebody like Dunellen?
No, look.
Else that doesn't have anything.
Naples. Naples. Fort Myers. Flagler. Punta Gorda. Ormond Beach. Houston.
Naples is city run. Page is city run.
But their fuel prices are still low and they're a full service FBO. Page Field won General Aviation Airport of the Year 4 years ago.
They have a wonderful job at Page Field.
Yes.
The first to say that they have.
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, if I might. Yes, sir. For those of you that don't know, my name is Mark Mondell, and first of all, thank you for allowing me to be here. And I appreciate all the work that you guys do, especially as volunteers. I have assumed a number of the responsibilities that John Zobler, you may remember John, so Matt directly reports to myself. Our city manager has aligned the airport now under economic development. And the purpose of that, of course, is that we see this as an engine, we see this as a great tool for our community long term. And I know all of you knew that's why you're passionate about it and that's why you're here. And so I want you to understand from my perspective how I look at this issue. For me, I sort of look at some basic principles. First of all, I want to move to the terminal sooner than later. As Matt indicated, when we look at our internal resources, we're very challenged financially to be able to do that. If we ultimately try to do that, then we're taking a whole lot of risk that we're not sure we want to take. So that's why when Matt talks about having a partner, that's why that's important. Now, as Terry has mentioned, we have received proposals before. We have received some proposals. It's our belief, and we may be wrong, it's our belief that we really have not reaped the full benefit of competitive proposals because we are so far away from the expiration of our lease. When I say the expiration of our lease, I want you to understand something. I don't have a personal or professional relationship with Landmark, nor any other FBO. And to be honest with you, I hope if we get to the end of our lease or close enough where we actually can pursue competitive proposals, where we have a number of proposals to choose from, I hope Landmark's one of those candidates that submits a proposal. But at this point in time, I don't feel like we've had the opportunity to have that full mix of qualified proposals to choose from. And I think it's because of this time of our lease that remains. Our initial response to Landmark was not about developing a fuel farm and competing with Landmark. Okay? Our response to Landmark was, we believe that we have a shared interest to get to the end of our lease. It's sort of like being in a challenging marriage, right? And that, you know, we're both trying to work it out, we're trying to make it make sense, we both have different perspectives on the issue. And so we believe it's in our interest, the city's, we believe it's in Landmark's interest to try to get to the end of the lease so we can start fresh. And so our thought was we could save Landmark money. They don't have to invest money in a fuel farm. We can use largely grant dollars to build that fuel farm. And by doing that, they can carve off some years from the lease. Ted, in our conference call, made it clear to us that they have some sunk costs, and that's $100,000 over the next 5 years in this existing fuel farm. And so, you know, something we hadn't really thought about, and that makes sense that they've already committed to those dollars. And so they're not willing to carve up any years off their lease or unable to do it. It doesn't make sense from a business perspective. And we respect that. We respect that. And so they came back and said, we're going to spend this money on this Band-Aid repair. I don't think staff has any issue with sitting down with Landmark and expanding this arena, this umbrella of people that have a vested interest in the community trying to make this an economic engine. I don't think we have any issue doing that. But if we were to do that, I would ask a couple things. The first being, understand that we don't believe it's in our interest, the city's interest, hopefully the community's interest, to have that conversation if the end result of that conversation is going to result in an extension of that lease. So that's one parameter that's very important to us. Okay? The second parameter is that if we have this discussion, it has to result in tangible material benefits, right? It can't be, we're going to work hard together to make good things happen. We have to know specifically what it is. For example, I'll just throw up one. Terry, you had mentioned that one perhaps compromise position could be that Landmark openly says, well, we're going to spend $50,000 and put it towards the match of this grant. Well, you know, you could argue that as a starting point of that discussion, if Landmark already has a sunk cost of $100,000 without having to extend their lease, they would commit to spending $100,000 right now without any additional benefits to them. No extension of the lease, no additional partnerships, no further investment from the city, no nothing else, right? I mean, so there has to be basic parameters that if we're going to have this discussion, we have to know going into, otherwise we're wasting everyone's time. So that's one thing I want to say. The other thing is, and this is trying to reinforce what Matt said, I agree with Terry here. You know, there's a lot of stuff water on the bridge. You know, it is a new day, and we have some new opportunities. And so if we are going to engage in this discussion with Landmark, this is the route you guys want us to go. I suggest we do this on a very tight window, because I'm also asking you to allow us to go forward with the fuel farm. Allow us to continue to pursue the fuel farm, regardless of how we ultimately run it, what benefit Landmark gets, whether we do sell or not. Those are questions that can be answered down the road as we keep going on this issue. But what we don't want to do is miss this opportunity right now and then say, well, we've missed the grant, but maybe it'll come around next year, the year after that, or who knows what's going to happen. We have the opportunity now. Let us simultaneously pursue the fuel farm as we pursue this dialogue with Landmark. But let's do this in a short window. Let's spend the next 2 weeks, 30 days to have this discussion. And whoever wants to be part of it, let's get them at the table and have this discussion. But at the end of this 30 days, if we're not able to find some meaningful way, and again, when I say everybody, I mean, if you want to bring all the tenants and the T-hangers into this discussion, if you want to bring council members, let's do that. But if we can't find, and I don't want to say that, meaning I'm assuming we won't. I think we might, okay? But if we don't, we still have this option of pursuing the fuel farm. And then we can continue the dialogue about where does it go? How does it operate? Who operates it? Do they use it? Do they not? Do we compete? You know, Matt had you might share the St. Augustine example, or you did, where they created a fuel farm and it was a competition with the FBO. It turned out that there was this whole other market that was being missed, and now they're able to capture that. So who knows what would happen in Ocala if we decided to sell fuel at the end of the day? Maybe we do it in a way where we're doing the test model, we're seeing if we could duplicate St. Augustine experience. Maybe that's not what happens. I don't know. But what we don't want to do, or at least what I'm asking, we don't want to limit the city's options right now.
I concur with that in the sense that I think it's a benefit to the city for whatever FBO issue, whether it's Landmark, whether it's Signature, Millionaire, or ABC, Mom and Pop. I think, you know, I'm looking at it and haven't thought much beyond what we discussed today, but it seems to me like, you know, the other goal that Matt threw out there was the new terminal building. If we were to vote today to say, build a terminal building here now, it would be 2 years minimum before you could be in that terminal. So there's 3 years left on the Landmark lease. Landmark is in a very good position because they know the history of the airport. They've got all the numbers compared to, say, a Signature. And it's just like me bidding on a job that I'm already on site. It's going to be really tough for somebody else to beat my price. So Landmark is sort of in the driver's seat, but they also know that they got to shape up or they're going to lose out. And it's been good for, what, 30 years now, 25?
25.
Well, how did that
happen? It'll be...
The lease is 25.
Well, the lease was written 25 years ago. And I can remember, you weren't here, obviously, but I can remember having a twist suit over that person, FBO. Twist their arm to get them to build the original terminal down here, by basically threatening to throw them out of the airport.
Well, I think we have to remember what we are. We are the airport advisory board. We have a duty to advise the city, you know, what's in the best interest of the city, not what's in the best interest of a concession, you know, of a lessee of the city. And I think that the issue before us, as Mark said, is whether to go forward with Fuel Farm and building a state-of-the-art fuel farm for, you know, with this grant, it's in the best interest of the city. Now, whether, I think it's a separate question, you get to, do you start competing with your own tenant? That's a separate question, which we're not being asked to, you know, advise on.
Just I would love to want to compete with them as long as we could avoid that.
I'm in lockstep. I mean, I have no problem with that. The problem I have is in, you know, the kind of way it's rolled out is we're going to do this, we're going to compete and all that. I think that's presupposing we're not able to make any headway, headway in terms of working with it. I think the idea of going forward with it, finding a location for it later, because it doesn't seem to me to make sense for them to spend money on Fuel Farm and us to spend money on Fuel Farm when they can actually put the money into a new fuel farm. Perhaps we get a better flowage. Perhaps we're in a position where we're going to, it's a quick pro quo. We're going to give them something. If we negotiate with them, sit down the way we are, they're going to
options.
You know, work.
We have options, and that's all we're looking to gain from pursuing this fuel farm. Now, I will say this: Landmark will have to pursue and do a fix to meet EPA satisfaction.
But they've got some time on that, don't they?
4 or 5 months.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to be to a point where we might sit down with them and say, okay, take your word. Okay, they're going to work with us. We're going to put the fuel farm where that one was. Everybody's happy. We come up with something. They pay the $80,000 maybe match. We get some things just for the use of it for the 5 years. We get some better concessions in terms of fuel pricing. We get better concessions in terms of flowage or cost of the airport. If I was in their position, the lease is 25 years old. Things have changed. They know what fuel leases look like now. There's no real disadvantage in them working with us for meeting somewhere in between, because the fuel farm itself becomes a negotiating position. We can posture for that and see what we get out of it. We don't get anything. What you ask them for before is to give them 2.5 years of their lease. You can run the numbers from a perspective of a present value. I mean, that's, they're giving up known revenue. Mm-hmm. Against a $200,000 investment, that just doesn't make good business sense. I wouldn't.
Well, and neither would it have given, neither is it good business sense to give them an extra 5 years for a $220,000 investment.
No, it doesn't hurt.
Right. There's a, you know, there's an unknown here, and that is going to be the EPA. I mean, we can tell them we're working the details out on the fuel farm.
Well, we're talking about meeting with Landmark fairly soon. I mean, if there's something that can, let's go ahead with the fuel farm, let's go with the grant, let's do that, and then we don't have any problem at that point in time in terms of, we don't have to cite it at that point in time, we don't have to do a lot of things. Let's sit down and talk to Landmark, say, we're going to build it. It's going to come. We're going to need money to match the grant. We're going to need certain other things. We got a 5-year period. We're not willing, everybody knows up front, you're not going to get any more. You're not going to give up anymore. We're where we are. How can we work together, perhaps to start on the terminal as a second phase? How can we work with the fuel farm? Because that's pretty easy. If I was them and I got to spend $80,000, you know, and fix up an old car that's only going to get me another 10,000 miles and I get a brand new one, pretty apparent that I'm going to work on something to do with. So I think that would be reasonably forthcoming.
But again, the unknown here is going to be the EPA if they agree to that. If they come in and say, your fuel farm is out of spec and shut down immediately, it's going to be Landmark's risk.
They haven't done that.
I talked to the EPA inspector, and he said that if we did pursue new tanks, he would have to go above his head to feel comfortable that we did at least 120-day extension. Well, and not get out of compliance on the fuel farm. But if we are going to do this and we are going to sit in mutual, I think it would be a wonderful opportunity to trade partner. We need to have some assurance that we're not going to be out of compliance or written up for not spending the money on containment in the exterior of the tanks immediately. We need some assurance of that. Like,
yeah, sure. We can't give that assurance. It's like
a. But I think we can jointly talk with the EPA and explain what we're doing.
And I think if we send a letter to the EPA in response, whether it's vis-a-vis you or through you or we do, if we correct them on that. If we send a letter that says the city is committed to building a new fuel farm, and this is what's going to happen, and we ask for that extension of time, so they understand at the end of the game, at the end of the day, it's going to be a new fuel farm.
Yeah. You know what that is?
How is your...
That's partnering.
Perfect. And you might consider too, I mean, we just put in a new filter vessel at the farm, which was a new one would have been 25. I actually took one when we bought Asheville at WFBS, and I took the filter vessel from Asheville and brought it here and had it totally redone. We spent it's like $16,000 versus 25 for a new one. The piping and everything else in there is good. And filter vessels. So what I'm saying is, we might not need the whole 324-day fuel farm if we just put in new tanks at the fuel farm.
If that's what we do. If that's what we do.
I mean, it might be a viable option. We might not need all that.
Yeah, I would say under what Matt had talked about before, and what has been echoed, I think, by some of the members of the board, is that if we pursue this approach of doing a new fuel farm, I would probably, Matt, you're going to have to give us some guidance here. I would probably do it in a manner where we advise EPA that the location may change. And the reason for that is we want to preserve our opportunity. Not, again, I want you to understand, I'm not suggesting we go and start with a new fuel tomorrow and go head-to-head with you guys. But we want to preserve our opportunity to sell fuel because that preserves our options. That puts the taxpayers in the best position. At the end of the day, good partners are strong partners. And when each partner realizes what their strengths are, what they bring to the table, that makes a great partnership, right? So we don't want to voluntarily give up the opportunity to sell fuel just because we're satisfying EPA, because now we've lost the ability to be a good partner with you negotiating what else we do for the next 5 years. So as long as we understand going into that, we've got some flexibility there.
And to give some weight to the letter to the EPA, I would ask for your unanimous approval to pursue the grant. To install a new fuel farm. Location will be determined and all.
Do you have any discussion of, is anybody from Landmark that wants to address
it? Well, I mean, I have a comment that I'd like to read.
Okay.
To clarify all this. The intention of the city is to use state funds to establish a self-serve fueling option which will directly compete with the airport's current tenant and Landmark Aviation, who, by the way, is a major tax contributor in the state of Florida with 5 locations now. Also, the intention is to offer low-cost fuel that subsidizes an extremely low percentage of the taxpayers in Florida and locally, those buying aviation fuel. While the FBO or whatever private enterprise has and continues to offer what we feel is competitive pricing if you compare like facilities and compare and throw in self sort of price along with everybody else too. And I would also just, I don't have this in here, but I'd like to add a comment on the contract bill for DES City, Matt and I talked about this the other day, I can't pursue a contract with DES City. If somebody within the government goes and says that it's needed in Ocala, they will open up an RFP for it, which we can then bid on. I mean, we'd be happy to. But I can't go to the government and say, you know, create an RFP for me. It has to come from, like, the Army National Guard. Somebody has to come in and determine that there's a need for it before I can bid on something. So I can't just create it.
That makes sense.
You know, and the larger ones for SCI and everybody coming in, I've talked to Mike at SCI and everybody else on these larger aircraft, he's talked about coming in. And I have more than told him that we will work on an interplane basis with them. It's not going to be retail fuel. The horse charter pays us 40 cents a gallon of cost when they come in. It's all based on scale of volume and what they buy. So it's not like they're going to be coming in here, even if they are to get DES City, we're not going to be charging them retail price if they bring in a C-130 or 737, or I'm not sure.
How many of your operations out of 50 operate that way in terms of fuel price?
Well, I can tell you right now that probably 10 to 11% is retail. And the rest is all discount or contract through the fractional programs.
And that's what's prevalent in all of your operations?
All of the base jet customers are on a cost-up program. They're minimal, anywhere from 75 cents to maximum, I think it's $1.25, cost-up $1.25.
Well, there's a lot of things I suppose we could talk about. The kind of option we were talking about St. Augustine has, if we sat down with Landmark, to convince Landmark that that fuel's all going to them or somewhere else, they'd rather be able to get a nickel off of it than nothing. But, you know, maybe they would handle it.
Absolutely. I mean, we could shut our self-serve down and get that tank back Eastern Aviation. I think there's a lot of options, and I think like Terry said, and I'm sure Ted will feel the same as me, but I agree. Let's put it all on the table and forget what happened in the past.
Yeah. This is
and try to move forward.
If I can ask one question.
Sure.
The statement you read, that was from Landmark. That wasn't something that the city wrote, right?
You know, that's from Landmark.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're clear on it. You know, we the city is not saying we're going to be selling fuel and competing with Landmark. I want you to understand that.
No, I'm saying if you do, okay. This is our conference, okay. Do that if you
okay.
Well, like Terry just said, it might be very valuable. And I was in St. Augustine when they put the self-serve in. And I agree that it did bring a lot more in. They didn't have the cost involved and everything. And, you know, it did bring more. It was also a growing economy at the time when they put it in, too. So that makes a huge difference. I think that's a viable option to say, yeah, the city sell fuel, sell avgas at inconvenience to Nellie in those prices. And we just offer our full service avgas and not self-serve. I mean, I think we would be open to that. And obviously, I think it would bring in more traffic here, and I think it would benefit all the, you know, local-based T-Enter people. We can't afford, with having stakeholders and stockholders, to go down to the very top of prices like the government does. Yeah. It's just going to happen.
They're not offering what the service that they're offering.
Exactly.
Matt.
So, but yeah, I think that's a very viable option to do something.
Are we currently storing fuel for anybody? I know that.
We have stored the Sheriff's Department's fuel for over 15 years, and we get about $350 a year.
Yeah, I just know that is an option at some point if we control our own. What are they, one person on the field now that has their own fuel?
Yes, yeah, Red Rover Aviation, they're the only privately held permanent fuel tank on the field. But, you know, Gainesville, they own and operate their fuel farm, and they store it for their FBO and for the airlines, and they charge a storage fee and then an uplift fee once the FBO picks it up into the mobile trucks.
I've worked with situations like that on pipelines and everything else, and it works well.
I would disagree with one thing that you read. I don't see the city as subsidizing fuel. I mean, we said that it'll pay for itself, and it's not going to pay for itself if the city's subsidizing it. It's going to go backwards.
Yeah, my point of subsidizing is that you're using state funds to provide a service to a very small percentage of the taxpayers. I mean, why wouldn't you go out to the gas station and offer it cheaper than all the other gas stations so for the other taxpayers that don't buy it? That's the purpose of it.
It's a reasonable statement, but you know, we're getting to a point. I think there's more we're agreeing on than disagreeing on. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some opportunity. The real thing I want to see out of it, and I've served as chair of this for a couple of years now, which I appreciate and honored to have done. I'd like to leave the chairmanship as we find somebody new today. And go to the point where, I'm not going to
say
but take us to a point where we finally begin. There's some neat, the economy, for whatever reason, I can't figure what it is, because the people of Washington certainly are helping us do it. But my business is up, I see others up, real estate's kicking up a little. Some things are, good things are happening, and in spite of our country spending way more money than we got. But, that unfortunately may come to a grinding halt one day, but until now it's going well. So I think if we can, I believe Landmark is a viable company. They're not unlike any of the, I would almost guarantee you that the management of any other big FBO is going to be somewhat similar and somewhat presupposed to operate the same way. And I think it's better to work with somebody you got, particularly when we got a vested interest for 5 years, see what the most we can get out of them. And I think we can do more out of that by really legitimately sitting down with them, giving them some of what they want, getting from them what we want, and really truly partnering, because I think it is a partnership. And when you sign an FBO up, just like the maintenance people we have or anything else on the field, we're partners in this airport, and we need to really go that route. So I think the idea of doing what we're talking about is good. But that said, I don't believe the idea that we're just make it everybody straight. We're talking about pursuing the fuel farm. We're not going to pick a location yet, which we're not doing anyway. And we're not going to presuppose that the city's going to pay the money or Landmark's going to pay the upfront $80,000.
We can figure that out later.
But we're in a good negotiation posture with Landmark. Anything's possible. As long as we build the fuel farm, it's here somewhere. It doesn't matter what Landmark does. It doesn't matter what we do in 5 years when the lease runs out at 6. It's our fuel farm. We can do anything we want to with it.
Yes.
So I think that's the end game, is that. Yes. I think the end game from my perspective, and I believe from Mark's, and I know people from the economic development side of the community, want an airport, because there's so many people here that don't think they have an airport. I was at a meeting the other day and said, if we only had an airport, we'd have airlines. The people that come here that we're interested in are the people from FedEx or companies like that,
yes,
who come here to negotiate a deal like is working now, we hope comes to fruition. And they're not going to come here on the Greyhound bus. They're not going to fly to Orlando in a car. They're going to fly here in some form of a turbine airplane. And they're going to get out, and they're going to go through our terminal, be impressed or not impressed. And it's more impressive by far now than it was. We thank Landmark for that. And we're gonna do a deal. So I think having trees and bushes and something really nice and having a very posh, very nice looking portal to your community is important. We gotta look important even though we aren't. So the first impression they're gonna have is how the place looks when they land.
We gotta at least look as good as we are. I mean, that doesn't look as good as we are.
And the second place they're gonna go to, if you get over, you'll appreciate this, particularly from the guy's standpoint, they're gonna go to the bathroom. So we got a clean bathroom and a nice looking facility, but we're gonna be in good shape. So we're all in the same. If we can, ready for motion?
Yeah, of course. Based on the summary Terry just did, I'm not going to try to recite it all. I'll make a motion that we move forward with the fuel farm.
Second.
Is that moving forward?
That gives me the positive direction I need to go, and at the next meeting I should have the grant documents ready, and we'll concurrently move forward with. We still need to talk about who's going to set up this little working group, I guess is the best way to describe it.
We'll lead that effort.
Yeah.
And you let Matt know, whoever else you think is going to be civil. I get your direction. You guys, at least let me. If you have any of you others, please let Matt know. The more the merrier.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion? Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
It doesn't really matter if you announce or not.
And I'm at home.
Interesting. We'll work for the next few days.
I'm going to
work together. We're going to be in touch with you next week. We'll start immediately working.
Yeah. If we need to reserve a room at a hotel or something, I'm sure we could get that.
Okay, thank you.
I know we've got the conference room, but depending on how many people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two
like
many people.
We'll try to get a representative from the White Party. How about that?
Yeah.
Mark, will you take care of that?
I absolutely will be involved in that.
Yeah. We need to set it up around when representatives from Landmark could be here.
Yes, absolutely.
We need to set it up around the Industrial Development Council.
Yep. My first call will be to Kevin Shealy and probably Doug Conn. and get there.
And then the folks from City Hall?
Yes. We'll ask council, city council meeting next Tuesday, we'll ask if one of the council members would be willing to serve.
That would be great.
Good idea.
And I think if we come into that with a new beginning, we got a great opportunity. Okay, thank you. Just going through with this, this opportunity we have here today, we need something on the construction update, fuel and ops. We already have fuel and ops, so.
Yeah, I'll run through fuel and ops. We already spoke about 826. Fuel deliveries, starting the new year, we're 29.5% over January of 2012.
How can that be? We're charging too much fuel.
That was the race. The race was in January? At the track?
No.
Last year?
No. This year. January 2013.
The race was in February.
I've seen a huge increase. I mean, compared to his last year, it's tremendous.
They stay around a little bit longer now.
$7.27 to $14,000
of this month. Nice. 5 days, right? 4 days, 5 days.
And like I said, it's
never seen that
46 before. Gallons, but it was 46 gallons, you know. But overall, I think it's definitely starting to see an upswing, which, you know, everybody's very excited about. March should be very good too. Last year we had, believe it or not, we got more fuel from the go-kart races.
So this is our time of year.
That is going on.
Well, I was out here Sunday afternoon a few weeks ago, and I've never seen so many jets out here.
We had 32 arrivals and 24 departures.
And you guys are cranking today.
Yeah, we got a couple hours.
The only downside to these numbers I need to point out is the avgas is just shy of 5,000 gallons. And we all know that the avgas guys drive the ops numbers in the control tower.
You guys got some experience.
Matt, also keep in mind too that we've been doing culture votes.
Yeah.
You go by purchases rather than sales.
Right. Yeah. These are deliveries, like, yeah. not into plant, but into storage. This is the historical total fuel sales from 1983 to 2012. There's a gap between 96 and 2000. We don't have records on what went on at the airport at that time. But you can see the spike, and that's some time for good, and then 2012 is where we're at. It's a little bit more detailed version of it. The blue line on the bottom is avgas. 2012 is right here. The red line is the jet fuel, and then the green line is the combination of the two.
Pretty parallel, isn't it?
Well, jet fuel drives the totals, that's for sure.
Avgas is probably that way, is it not?
I'm sorry?
On a national basis, that's somewhat the same thing happening everywhere.
And then back to the pricing. Again, this is how I'm going to do it for now, and it's going to be an average of all the FBOs on one particular airport. And it's all contract control towers. If you're uncontrolled airport and you do 100,000 operations, you won't show up on this chart.
That's a much better comparison.
That's the jet fuel. And again, that's the avgas. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about economics lately. You know, the city's sealed a few deals in town, FedEx, although the final disposition is up to FedEx. They've got until October at the latest, basically, to close on the property. And once they basically close on the property, they're coming to Ocala. That's 175 jobs or so, $100 million in investment in the property up on the northeast end of town. Although their proposal did not include the airport at that time, we're hopeful that as they solidify themselves in Ocala, that some sort of airport component will materialize out of that.
They looked here first. They looked at our business park first.
Yeah.
But they had a requirement they couldn't be within 1900, their building couldn't be within 1900 linear feet of a residence. And when we laid it out on the site, we couldn't get that geometry to work. So they actually weren't aware of Magna, and we were able to bring them over there, and of course they fell in love with that site. So
that's good.
Lyra Roberts, RLR, R&L. Bring in their IT, their logistical support people into town. That's a huge deal. That's, I think I ran the numbers based on what was printed. That's almost $11 million a year in payroll coming into the community. And they'll be occupying the Taylor Bean Hangar. There's a couple other deals that the city's coordinated with other industry, and it all goes to benefit the community. We'll reap benefits from every single deal that happens. The airport, people will fly. Businesses are picking up already. I just wanted to make the board aware of that. So, you know, we put a lot of time and effort to attract the new companies and put a lot of money and infrastructure into the airport as well. And while nobody solidified in our own industrial park yet, our time will come.
That makes a lot of sense. Got a pretty street over there, a lot of nice property, and operational opportunities for the airside, which obviously benefits what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I have nothing more to add.
Anyone here wishing to appear or not on the agenda?
Just really quickly, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Justin Edwards. I work with the firm of Wells Hanner & Associates out of Oviedo. We're engineers and planners. And I would just like to congratulate all of you on getting past that fuel farm issue. I didn't know it was coming to such an incredibly important and interesting meeting tonight. I think I mentioned to this board before that I work in the airport management sector, including running a commercial airport and many GA facilities for 25 years. One of my jobs way back when was I was the director of the manager of the fuel farm at a New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. And what's interesting is just like in commercial airports where automobile parking is generally one of the biggest sources of revenue for an airport, at airports such as this and other GA facilities, even much bigger ones, land is number one, your land developers, and number two is fuel. And one of the facilities I manage as the owner revenue stream, somewhere between 20 and 30% of the take for the airport's pie, the revenue pie, so to speak. And I noticed it looked like about 5 to 10% here, Mr. Director. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some issues that have to be resolved. I think moving forward, this really gives you tremendous options down the road. This airport I manage the farm at, we control, maintain the facility, and we sold with a markup of somewhere in around 25 to 30 cents that fuel for our service to three FBOs and huge corporates on the facility to add their own vehicles. So it really gives you a tremendous leg up in the future. You've got 3 years left on this FBO lease. Doesn't mean Landmark won't be here. Just means you'll be in a better position as you all kind of agreed at the end. So at least talk and try and work to resolve the structural issues of how it works. And hopefully everybody can benefit down the road. So congratulations to all of you.
Thank you.
One point of interest there, that the lease we have is 25 years old. And at the time it was negotiated, I was here when that was done, and compared to the lease we had before, that we thought was a robber baron. We've done a great job of doing things for the community because we were so much better off than we had been before. It was like a breath of fresh air. 25 years makes a lot of difference. So the next time, with proper escalation clauses, a better look at a future long-term lease, what can be accomplished. And places probably weren't that much different for everybody 25 years ago. It's a different world. Everywhere. Different environment.
Tell that to the hospital trustees.
We suffered with that one as well. So. I wish we could do more with that, but we look forward to getting a vote on that one. Okay, at this point in time, we skipped option four, which was the election of the new chairman to make sure everybody is here. I'll throw the floor open for that and see what we have.
The vice chairman now.
I believe you are
sure. Terry, you said something a minute ago in passing that I just wanted to clarify. Did you mean to infer that you do not wish to be chairman,
far as...
Well, I think I've done it for 2 years. I think it's time for somebody else to do it. I'm pleased to do it, but I don't relish the job. It's like everything else.
The pay's not any better.
I'm in a lofty position. I get paid the same.
I heard Landon Mark was going to be the chairman of the bigger district.
I think from sitting here as one of the newest members, Terry, I can't imagine any of the other four of us being more qualified. I mean, you have been here forever, if I may. You've been here forever. Not only that, you know other airports. You fly into other airports. You have business all over the world. You see things and bring back to us much more than I think any of the rest of us could ever do.
I appreciate those comments. I think it was kind words, but there's really not all that much to it. You know, and you know.
In that case, yeah. I nominate Terry.
It's fine. I'll be a very important job.
It's kind of passing sort of back and forth over the years, you know.
Yeah, I'll take the time. I'm just in the fairness to the board. New perspective, a new direction. I don't know, there's some things going on last year, and I think the opportunity to maintain some continuity where it was a different. So I think the thing set up for the chairman's rotate, I prefer to see it really work. Better thing to do. We got to be rather, you know, I think Mr. Klein is the vice chair. Oftentimes he could be renominated. So.
I'd like to nominate Randy as the president.
Okay, we have a nomination for Randy. Is there a second?
Yeah.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
I don't want to say
it. And then we need a chairman of ICE. I mean, a vice chair.
Jerry, do you want to take the vice?
Second.
Yeah, motion second. No further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. I was saying leaving the chairmanship job. I'm not leaving the airport board. At some point in time, I probably need to think about that.
I think it'd be a journey.
We stand adjourned. Are there any comments from individual members?
No, sir.
Okay. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to serve. I appreciate for the kind words, and I think we're in extremely good hands with Mr. Klein, and with that, we'll stand in front of
you.
Congratulations.